Hello, I'm Keith and the Girls, Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
Welcome to My Opening Line. We talk to these artistes and we find out how did they begin.
And what made them cry.
What made them cry? Why did they keep going? Subscribe for free, myopeningline.com. Also, it's available anywhere you get your podcasts. Ladies and gentlemen, today we're talking to one of the greatest people I know. I don't think I'm exaggerating. Let me think.
A delight.
Hold on. Let me think. I don't want to say anything out of it. Let me think.
Yeah, think about it first.
No, that's true.
Okay.
Featured in Time, Huffington Post, Cosmopolitan, Bravo. We'll get into that. MTV News. She does digital shorts for Just for Laughs. Also, I've seen Kohl's commercial, KOHL, the department store. This is huge.
Huge.
Jesse Jollis.
Hello.
Hello. What You're a dream. Always fantastic on Keith and the Girl. Thank we were just you. Talking before we started this show that you do have a background in improv, and I think that helps on podcasts because you just Keith throws some ignorant shit at you and you go, yes, and of course you're wrong, but we're gonna talk about it anyway.
I make it funny.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank God for me.
You do well.
Thank you.
You do very well. I go cheese sticks and then I lean back and she takes it over.
Mozzarella.
See?
Thank you.
That's the kind of thing she can do. When at what age did you realize you were an entertainer or that you got your rocks off making people laugh or give you attention? Do you know?
When I started for making people laugh.
Yeah, like I wonder if I started because of the classic, I was bullied and I knew that calmed them down for a second. When did it start for you?
Yeah, I think it started in high school for me, really.
Okay.
Where I was like, God, I'm funny. Mm-hmm. Or I just started improv in high school.
But before that, you wanted to be a serious actor, only yes. drama.
Yes.
Yes.
Because my brother is a comedian. Right now.
Right.
Boy, that's hard to say, isn't it?
I know. And is very much more successful than me. And I'm happy for him. But so I think growing up, I always was in his shadow.
What's the age difference?
1 year.
A 13 whole year.
Months. This okay. is Irish twins. And I want you to picture this. Okay. I'm a freshman. He's a sophomore. My grandparents are in the audience. So are my parents. Production, Peter Pan. My brother is Peter Pan.
Whoa.
I am a lost boy. No lines. And there's a point where my brother is literally over me, casting his shadow on me. And that was the metaphor that just became forever.
Whoa. Right?
Yeah.
And Whoa. So you told yourself, well, I can't be a comedian. That's what he does.
Yeah. I told myself, like, that's fine. He's going to do that. And I'm going to be the serious one.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
then the theater director, you know, didn't know that proclamation I had made. And so she was like, Danny's funny. I'm sure Jesse is too. And so I kept getting like comedic parts. Mm. And, you know, a part of me was nervous about it. And then a part of me loved it.
1 second, Jesse. I want to talk to Chemda about Quip toothbrushes. And I don't need interruption because this toothbrush is amazing. And I need everyone to know about it.
I have two of them.
It's an electric toothbrush, but the size of a regular toothbrush.
That's actually the best part. I don't have to plug it in. There's so much stuff. There's only like one outlet in my bathroom, and it's taken up by other stuff. This is a freestanding toothbrush. It's only as big and as light as a regular toothbrush, mm-hmm. but it vibrates.
And those old school electric toothbrushes, maybe you're thinking what I did at first. You know, it's like a ripcord, like you're starting a lawnmower. It's too abrasive. It's too hard. These are gentle, but does the work of an electric toothbrush. You can have sensitive gums. I do. And it's perfect.
And it's so affordable. For an electric toothbrush, I have paid $100 for an electric toothbrush, but then it's bulky. Mm-hmm. The heads are weird that you have to switch.
There's a timer in this toothbrush that tells you when to switch to another quadrant in your mouth. It's fun. I'm sitting there telling you brushing's fun, you know? I love Quip, and you'll love it too. They're backed by 20,000 dental professionals. Quip starts at just $25.
I gave it to my little nephew, and they were having trouble with him brushing his teeth, but the gentle vibration of this he was into, and it kind of like left him intrigued enough and brushed his teeth.
Go to getquip.com/MOL for my opening line. Getquip.com/MOL. Go there right now. Get your first refill pack for free with a Quip electric toothbrush.
Really, after the first time I tried this, I'm not joking. My teeth felt cleaner just the first time.
That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/MOL. Yes, Jesse, we're back to you. Would you get, at a young age, would you get stage fright, that kind of thing? Or this, it always came second nature?
I remember thinking when I was really young, just get the first line out because then you love it.
Right.
But before that first line, it was like, I have to pee constantly and I'm so nervous. My throat will just drop out.
That pee before stage time is so specific. Because you think you're like, well, my bladder would not lie to me. I have to pee.
Yeah.
So you go to the bathroom and as you're sitting there literally tinkling like tink, 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 yeah. You remember, I just did this 10 minutes ago
right. And
drank no water
right. Since.
So I don't know. And then you get out of the bathroom and there's like 20 minutes until you're on. And in that 20 minutes, you doubt that you have to go to the bathroom for the entire time.
Yeah.
And that's like the better end of it because it could also go back door.
Right.
And that's when it's harder.
And that's when it's really hard.
Do you think in books for actors and this kind of thing, it should explain urine fright? Right? Like that should be chapter one. When to eat based on your upcoming performance. Yes.
What to expect. I mean, you realize your body starts playing tricks on you throughout, whether it's like, I was like, I don't have saliva. Like I need water.
Right.
I'm not going to be able to say anything when I go out on stage. And then it's like, I have to pee. I'm going to die. If I don't pee, I'm going to just think about how I have to pee. I'll pee my pants.
Yes.
What if I pee my pants?
Today's the day.
Yeah. My hands are shaking. I'm like, what's going to happen? Then you go on stage and it's amazing with the adrenaline, I think, but your body just sort of takes over.
Right.
And then you're just in it.
Yeah.
And you forget sort of all the things you were worried about.
Now, were your parents were entertainers also?
Yes. So my dad's a professional speaker. He's like a motivational speaker and an auctioneer. He loves to perform.
That's hard to win fights growing up. I'm talking so fast and very well.
Imagine. I'd be like, can I have a sleepover? My dad would go, sell me. I'd be like, all right, it's Saturday night. I don't have school tomorrow. And Morgan's my really good friend. He'd be like, okay, but why is this good for me? Like my dad was really our director. Like I would get into a show and he would give me notes and.
No.
Yeah. And my parents met in Fiddler on the Roof, a community theater production of Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh, so, their parents must have been so happy.
So happy. So Jewish. So wonderful.
They have a positive view of the arts.
Yeah, and they love it.
Which is unusual.
Yeah, and that was a way to make my parents proud, too.
Weird.
You know, because my parents loved the arts and loved performing and loved theater. And so, you know, I think I saw Danny do it and it was like, all right, that's a surefire way to get brownie points.
That's
so
weird.
Look how proud they are.
Who's Danny?
My brother, my older brother, Danny Jollis.
That's so funny because for me, that's a way to embarrass my parents so easily.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, I am such a whore for speaking my mind. Oh, yes.
Well, my dad's really the whore. You know, my dad, like he loves to perform. He loves it. So
does he still sit you down after he sees something that you do and give you notes? For example,
Yes. Comedy
has changed and my dad wouldn't understand my sarcastic, very dry stand-up. Do you have to look at him and be like, that's not what I'm doing, though?
Yeah, my dad is very critical still and will give me notes. Sometimes I'll be, before I show him something, be like, remember, it's done. It cannot change. So I beg of you, don't say anything. But yeah, I think he knows what he likes and he wants to see us doing something great. I don't think he always knows what he's talking about.
Right.
But I think his intentions are wonderful and he just wants to see, you know, his kids shine.
You're like, I'll take that in, but don't watch the follow-up.
Right. You know, and he loves when I talk about sexual things or anything.
No way.
No, I'm kidding. He literally hates it. And he'll be like, well, I can't share it. I can't share something like that. You cursed in it. Like my parents can't share anything that has cursing or, you know, so that, all of my stuff.
Yeah.
They can't share it. Yeah.
Except for your Kohl's commercials.
Kohl's. Yeah. They'll share that.
But even that, it's like, what if you walk in on the left? Well, they already spent $50,000 easily.
Right. They're fine.
So I think we're done.
Yeah.
With any of your ideas.
Yeah. They're, you know, they feel good about it, but they're also like.
Do they shop at Kohl's? And if so, do they tell people that you're in the commercials? In colds.
No.
Like you might recognize Jesse. She's in kitchenware right now. And if you want to say hi.
I know. I don't think, sometimes I don't think my parents and, you know, I shouldn't be doing it for my parents anyway, but I don't think they always, and also it's also hard because my brother is a serious, you know, regular on a show. He was on Crazy Ex and had like a regular role. Oh. He's in Romney.
Okay.
Like the new show out. My brother's like
Mitt Romney.
It's on Hulu.
Oh, this is like a dig at him.
No, it's not a dig.
You don't know what the shows are. You're pretending. I'm, yeah, that is sick.
I'm a sick fuck. But he's just had so many bigger goals that I always feel like I'm behind. And when I have something, it's not as good, which is maybe something I feel and also maybe not true, but it's a little harder.
Do you guys get along? Because that's really rough.
Yes, we do. I love him. And he directed my JFL series.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I mean,
tell your dad if you have anything you want to talk about. You talk to the director. You talk to
Danny. Yeah. So he's great and I love him. And I, you know, I want him to succeed, of course. I just, I think it's
you hard have not something to compare. Yeah. You have a direct comparison.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's although rough. It's different, you know, I think it's a blessing that he's a guy right. and I'm a girl. Like, we're never going for the same roles. And that's amazing.
Except this fluidity shit comes on. You get, you
next
know,
thing I know,
gender won't matter. Yeah. You're going to be in the same room auditioning.
So, and then
fingers I'll crush crossed. Him. Fingers crossed.
Well, so what was the time that you couldn't get past your nerves?
So what took me a really long time to be comfortable with is being myself.
Because so you could do characters.
Could do characters, could play an old woman, an old man, could play a nervous neighbor.
Take that, Danny.
Yeah, exactly. But when it came to being myself on stage, I didn't realize how scared I was. Probably because I didn't like myself for a great portion of it.
Well, it feels so much more vulnerable. Like when you're playing a character, you exaggerate their stupid mannerisms.
Yeah.
When you're playing yourself exaggerating or feeling like you're exaggerating your mannerisms, but really going, no, I'm just this. I'm right. just right. this way.
They could, for lack of a better word, they could hate the character's personality. But if they hate your personality, it's you. It's real.
Yeah, exactly. These are my thoughts. Right. And you could hate them or not agree with them or think it's not funny. So I remember the first time that I realized that was when I was 11 or 12 and I went to a sleepaway camp. And I was in the production of Hello, Dolly. I don't remember the name of my role, but it was a very like fun, funny role. But we had a talent show. And I was like, amazing. Of course, I'll be in the talent show. I'll win.
And that's separate from the other production.
Yes.
Okay.
Separate.
And you're how old? Sorry.
I think
11, 12.
Yeah, 11, 12. Okay. And I was going to read a poem I had written. And before the show started, as the time became closer for me to go, I started having a complete panic attack. And I was like, I don't want to do it anymore. Like, I can't do it. And, you know, this camp actually reflecting really sometimes I think should have listened, but maybe it's great they didn't. But they were like, you're going to do it. You're going to conquer this fear.
And we also don't have any understudies.
Yeah. But it was a talent show. Mm-hmm. They could have moved on.
Right.
They did.
Right. That's true.
They didn't. Yeah. And I think my body, if I'm tired, if I'm happy, if I'm scared, if I'm surprised, your girl's crying.
Right.
Tears are flowing. That's during my college interview, choked up.
No.
Yeah, almost cried. That is my number one body reaction to everything. It's very odd. When I go to the doctor every single time, you know I'm crying.
Oh my God, I cried at the doctor also.
Okay, good. That's nice to know.
I cry a lot.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
It's a new thing. It's like, oh, I'm just in touch with a feeling. Why is crying the answer?
I know. I was in a commercial once, though, where the director was like, can you cry? And I was like, boy, can I.
Can I not?
Let's see if I can keep it together.
I take my work home with me. Let's put it that way. Yeah.
So I went to go read this poem and I was hysterically crying. And when I cry, like I can't get a breath. Like no one can even understand. So I ended up whispering.
Whose poem is this? You wrote a poem?
I wrote an original poem. Thank you so much. About the Revolutionary War. Thank you so much.
Not enough poems about it.
I don't think so either.
I know forks in the road. Mm-hmm. I know trees. But what about the Great War?
And this was, I'm dyslexic. So I always misread directions. And in this class with this teacher, who was the first teacher that really like loved me and believed in me and thought I was smart, I think it said, like, read this poem. And I said, I read, write this poem. So I literally, like a mad woman, started writing this poem. And my teacher was just so sweet and so happy. She, like, framed it and put it on the wall. And I was like, you know who's a poet? This girl.
Right.
And I just believed I was a poet. And so this amazing prize winning to my teacher poem right. I was going to bestow with kindness to people at this camp.
Don't you want to see that poem?
I know.
12 years old.
Yes.
The words are coming from my mouth. This is the story. It includes the South. I'll tell you something else. I'm worth telling you a story about the North.
Yeah. That was it. Wow. It was very much like that, I'm sure.
And then they got together. They went and fought England. England.
Wrote it in 10 minutes, was like, this is unbelievable. My dad wrote a lot of poems, too.
Okay.
So I think maybe that was part of it. Whenever I was, he would coach my soccer teams, and he would write a poem for our team at the end of every season.
No.
He would.
I just want an orange wedge, and I got to hear his poems.
Yeah. And it would be, he was so great at it. And
this is ballsy that you are going to stand up at 11 or 12 in front of a camp, which is supposed to be fun. Poetry is not associated with fun.
And not even war.
No, it's not a cool poem. The fact I chose it, interesting, but yeah.
So you're panicking.
I'm panicking. Mm-hmm. I'm now weeping into the MC's ear.
After what? Did the MC invite you up already? What happened?
Yeah, they were like, you got to go. Like, come on up.
Okay.
I'm hysterically crying.
And you're like, okay. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Hysterically, like heaving.
And so you made the MC wait? Like, stay there? Because
he stayed there because I think he was like, will this girl die on stage? Or like, I mean, I don't even know. And then because I was heaving so much, I think eventually he was like, do you want to like whisper it and I'll say it? So I'm whispering my poem into his ear. And
what's
then
that sound
saying,
like while you're crying?
Talk about slower. It's like the Revolutionary War. The Revolutionary War. Like, it's now it's 18 minutes. Everyone's forgetting the rhyme because it's taking me so long to get it out. And then out of pity, when it's done, everyone's clapping. But I was like, I'm going to die. And I think everyone who was in the show with me was like, how is she going to do it? How is she going to do the show? And even I was like, what was that? I've done shows before. Like, now I'm nervous about the show. But because I was a character in it, I didn't get nervous.
Wow.
Yeah. But when I was myself, and you know, poems are hard.
Yeah,
I really broke down.
Is wow. It, how old's this MC? 18?
I don't even.
Like I understand. Hey, once you do it, maybe the nerves will go away. I don't bring you up as you're crying, going, you wait. Like, this is a movie moment where you just suck it up, a big swallow, and it's perfect.
It was like Matilda and Bruce Bogtrotter was eating the cake, and the kids were like, let's just support him because the Trunchbull's not going to stop. She's going to make him do it. It's like, we're forcing this kid to finish this cake or finish this poem, even though it's like, I'm sick. Please, please, no.
And what? The play went great?
Play went great.
Did people react to you right before the play like, Jesse's going to be okay?
I think I remember people being nervous, which then made me nervous.
Of course.
Because it was like, hey, remember when you heaved and could barely speak on stage? Are you going to be okay for the show? And I was like, I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know why I wouldn't.
But
why
now I have to convince you
to me?
And me.
Yeah.
Now, what was the difference, do you think? It was you playing another role in the Revolutionary War was you?
Yeah, I got to put on a costume and I got to pretend to be this woman who was kooky and not me. It wasn't me. I loved being other people, other characters.
Does it affect your life personally? Like, are you a psychopath?
Yes. I have multiple personality disorder. And so that's just always fun for partners.
It's just working for you though in
it's
acting.
It's working for me.
Well,
yeah.
Well, your character work has put you in front of a lot of stuff that you wrote, like a lot of sketches that you wrote, a lot of videos that got put out that became very popular. And isn't that sort of how you got this Kohl's ad, which kind of helped propel your career into this new space?
Yeah. I mean, auditions, you just go in and truly I'm just like, I'm going to have fun. It was wonderful because Claire Burns, who's a comedian that I work with, because they were looking for two women to do this, that we're going to play friends. So you can sometimes submit as a duo. We knew the casting director, so she submitted us as a duo. And because of that, I have no nerves. Like, you know, I know I'm just going to go in there and have fun. I do. I love auditions that are like just improvise, which is what the audition was.
And this is your improv partner in a sense.
Yeah.
This is your working partner. You make funny together a lot.
Yeah.
You kind of, and this is what happened in the commercial. I feel like you finish each other's sentences. Mm-hmm. You yes and each other. Mm-hmm. You're excited about each other. And it's like anything that comes out of your mouth is like, I want to be in a room with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you nailed the audition like that.
I remember leaving the audition and being like, it doesn't matter if I got it or I didn't because I feel great about it. Like that was just great. Fun. I mean, we got to improvise for 10 minutes. My bread and butter, I love playing a mother. I love it. I nannied for a long time when I got to New York and I just love kids. And I loved when I would nanny hearing moms talk and sort of what they say like, oh, he's 2 going on 40. I mean, he's reading a newspaper in the morning. There's nothing I can do. You know, that's him. And that's Henry. Okay, Henry, I guess I'll do the laundry. Like, I just loved the mom part.
When we see the commercial, do you have a backstory where the kids are?
Oh, yeah. I know my husband at home. I'm always like, well, you know my husband, Frank. He doesn't know how to grill, so I guess I'm cooking dinner. You know, I love to complain about my husband. These are my favorite characters to play. That it was just, and Claire and I had met, we met for coffee before just to get on the same page, and I said why don't we nail down our family so we can talk about each other. So we came up with like names for our husbands and our kids. We knew the ages, so we went in with like we knew the backstory.
Does one have like a deadly disease?
One is dying of cancer. Yes.
Only you know it,
you know, but we still go to Coles. Right. And that's when he comes back to life.
Do you know, 2 days ago, I was at a Kohl's and I tried to have a little fun with a total stranger about blenders.
No, yeah.
I wasn't getting anything.
That's not a fun stranger. No. And that's not a true customer at Kohl's because right. People have fun at Kohl's. Yeah, so it was just a great audition. Like, it was so fun.
That's really cool. I always find that when I'm doing something with Keith, I feel a little bit more relaxed about it because it's not just me out on the ledge. It's like, if I don't know this piece of information, he's probably more into it. And I know like with our podcast, Keith and the Girl, especially because we talk more about ourselves and our lives and our reaction to pop culture.
Yeah.
We have opposing views, like politically, socially, a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And that's helpful because when we do other shows or when we do other stuff, like he'll know different information, different responses for things. And it's such a good lean in.
You feel safe.
I think that's one of the things when if you're a freelancer, entrepreneur, artist, that having a partner is keeping you accountable. It's making you do the work because when you work for yourself, it's just, well, this is due tomorrow, but I'm not going to punish me.
Yeah.
But if this is due tomorrow and Keith's going to look at me like, did you get that component? So I can get this component. It's really helpful. Now, I think that's really great. But then you went out on your own and you got this thing like, and it feels like it's for the first time you're just putting yourself out there to see if that net is not going to be there and you're still going to make it. Is that what it felt like to try out for JFL?
The JFL thing. Yeah. Because I had done
just what is JFL just for laughs. Yeah. It's a huge, maybe you should describe it.
Yeah, it's a really well-known festival where a lot of comedians get their start. And so their digital platform was looking for series and for pitches. So I submitted a pitch and had shot a proof of concept because I had done a lot of scripted things, but I hadn't done something just myself. And it's sort of a way for me to do stand-up without doing stand-up, but just getting to say how I feel. And the people at JFL responded and they were like, yeah, we really like it. We want you to come out to LA and reshoot it.
And she said, no, I just said I'm done.
Yeah, this is like, no,
they're like, concept.
Yeah, but your makeup in the video isn't what we love. So we just want to fix your face. I'm like, all right, cool. People will still hate it. So I got to go out there and shoot that. And then before
we shot. Does that feel like a rock star? Because you know, as you're going, this is just our life. So it's like, oh, we got another audition. We got another thing. They're flying us out. And quote, they're flying us out sounds so good.
Yeah.
But really, you have to pack. You have to get on the plane. Like, it's just okay. But it is sort of like they're flying me out. Did that feel like that?
I remember
You telling the stewardesses, like, oh, by the way, should I tell you why I'm here?
Yeah, it was like, let me just give you a rundown of who you're talking to.
And they're telling you, we're called flight attendants now.
That's right. I'm going to do the speech, if you don't mind, about the doors and stuff, because I'm very funny.
I'm in row 5, JFL.
That's right.
Is that just a regular row?
I think it's first class. It's definitely not. Okay, back of the plane. Got it. I mean, budget's tight. We get it. Yeah, I felt great going out there. I mean... And I went out there to shoot 5 episodes. And before it came out, they're like, we want you to come back and do 12 more.
Right. Whoa.
So I felt really cool about that, too, that before it even came out, they were behind me, supported it, loved it. I got to write more.
It's about dating.
Yeah, it's about dating.
All right.
And that's a little nerve-wracking, because this whole time you're doing a character, a mom, which you're not a mom.
Right.
And you're not really like... almost a mom either. You have this whole other character that you made up from watching other people.
Yeah.
Here, it really is about your dating life.
Right.
So you're back to that place where you're putting yourself out there, you're doing it on your own.
Yeah.
Did you get nervous? Did it come up? Were you scared?
Every video, she's crying like a baby. I like that. Keeps my attention.
I like that too. If anything, it's pathetic, but we love it. I think I remember, and this is probably the part that I love the most is what I was a little nervous about is there was a teleprompter, and I'm dyslexic. So I was a little nervous about the teleprompter. But I had a great person operating it, and they would hold it when I would improvise. So it felt so loose and so great. So my goal when I was filming it was like, just make people laugh. Just like be able to see people shaking or trying to hide from laughter. Like,
oh, that's
just
great.
Just keep going until, or, you know, do what you want and feel it in the moment. And I, at this point, love doing improv and feel so comfortable that it just was fun for me. I know if I'm having fun and, you know, we do it a few times and my brother did direct it and everyone's like, yeah, we're all happy. We think we definitely have it. It was like, great.
Wow. How did your brother end up directing it? Did you have any say about that?
Yeah. I did.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was cool. I think originally I was like, who's directing it? And they were like, oh, I don't, maybe like you. And I was like, I definitely can't direct myself.
Too good at both roles.
Too good. I'll be like, playback. I love me. Okay. Let's do it again. Can we be, what's happening with my hair? That's one thing I'm so mad at my brother about, is like, I'm like, Danny, my necklace is crooked. He's like, you were wearing a necklace. I'm like, Jesus Christ. So the details, he missed the details, but we got the funny.
Had you ever worked with him before in that kind of space where he's directing you or producing something, or you guys have to work with each other really closely like that?
He'd never directed anything of mine, but I mean, Danny and I have been working together in our household and doing bits, and we were in choir together growing up forever. And even, I'm trying to think of like, We had done some shows together in New York. I mean, I'm very comfortable with him, and I always feel like we get each other's humor. We come from the same place.
Yeah.
That I felt really great having him on set and knew it was going to be fine.
Did it mean something? Because I feel like it would for my parents, especially if they're into what you do for a living. Did it mean a lot that you chose your brother as a director? Yeah.
Yeah. My parents were thrilled.
Yeah.
And my mom, when I would show her cuts of it, would be like, I mean, Danny's a great director. You two are quite a team, because this is really good, Jesse. And I'd be like, all right.
I said you'd always be friends. When I was young, me and my sister fought a lot. My mom would be like, you guys are going to be best of friends. No. No, we won't. And I'll make sure now.
Yeah.
We are.
You guys are really good together.
Yeah.
We always ask this of everyone, if you could talk to your old you, not anybody who's younger, but your old you, what kind of advice would you give yourself back then before you started or as you were coming up?
What do you specifically wish you knew, Jesse Jollis?
Well, I think what I wish I knew is so many people are going to look you in the eye and say, no, you're not going to make it, or no, we don't want you. And it's important to have the mindset of fuck you instead of believing it.
How do you do that?
Well, and I cry a lot. I I remind myself going in, the best thing I can do when I audition, when I'm in a show, is to be me, to lean into me. The only thing I can be the best at is being Jesse Jollis. No one else can do it. Like, that's what makes me different. That's what makes me me. If I can bring myself to this character.
How do you do that? How can you, because it is a character. Yeah. It is you trying to get your nerves down. People don't know who they are. How do you find you right before such a stressful moment?
Like when I have a big audition, I think sometimes there's the character breakdown that's like a shy woman, like sheepish, doesn't like to look at sunlight or whatever it says. And then you go, okay, I think I know what they want. And then you go, scrap it. Mm. What do I want?
Reading the script. Character?
Reading the script. Mm. What do I think is funny? Or what do I think works? It might be wrong, but it's my take. And it's going to be different. Because sometimes they don't know what they want. Mm. And the only thing I can give is what I want. Or what I think is good.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So I try to do that in auditions. That's when I'm feeling like I'm nailing it, it's when I'm doing that.
Mm. I feel like I want you to be in my pocket when I'm nervous.
Girl, call me. I'm there.
Knock first. I might be taking a dump.
That's true. Or crying. And right. Please respect that.
Jesse, this is always a pleasure. You know that.
Yes.
And I do know that.
Good.
I really do.
It's how I break up with women. I'm like, this isn't working. You know that.
I do know that. See you later. You've seemed angry and, you know, distant. So, sure. I had some ideas.
JesseJollis.com. You can find her also on Twitter, Instagram. It's all right there.
All right.
And, of course, look up the JFL stuff called It's a Date.
Mm-hmm. You guys really follow It's a Date. Follow Jesse Jollis. Every time you come up in my feed, I'm like, what a delight. What a delight. I was wondering why I was even on social media. I'm not even kidding. And then I'm like, right, because Jesse Jollis keeps putting out stuff. It's fantastic. Look for her. Love her like we do. You're welcome.
And now the closing theme song. What you just heard was my opening line. Please subscribe and tell your friends. Go to myopeningline.com.